everybody. That was a weird start. Can't do that again.
Keep it.
Take two. Hey, everyone, and welcome back to the Seriously Grays podcast. I'm Amanda.
I'm Kay.
And today we're going to be discussing episode 1023, titled Everything I Try to Do, Nothing Seems to Turn Out Right.
It reminds me, you know it's true. Everything I do. Okay, we can move on.
It was written by Austin Guzman, and directed by Bill D'Elia.
Not a name I remember.
He's a fairly well-known director, Kay, just not to you.
Yes, exactly.
To recap, Callie receives terrible news. Alex is poaching for cases, and Arizona is poaching for him.
Yes.
Leah gets axed.
Aww.
Joe experiences some nervous hives.
But she's still sexy.
And it's possible she could be fired, according to Callie and April.
And April, yeah.
Christina interviews cardio people. And Bailey needs a bitch slap.
I volunteer.
Also, Owen and Christina are not done yet.
I feel like we've been saying that for a while now.
So, expectations.
You know,
Kay, what were your?
Yes.
And while you're at it, why don't you tell us what you think the theme was?
Oh, all right. Okay. So I'll start with the theme.
Okay.
Actually, no. I'll start with expectations concerning the episode itself. I mean, I feel like I've been having a big case of Grey's fatigue, and I feel like this season should have been done 3 episodes ago. What I mean by that is not that the last 3 episodes have been bad, but I do truly believe that a Grey's Anatomy season would benefit from a smaller number of episodes. I think 20 episodes is enough to tell a good story. With 24, we just get tired, they lose momentum, there's some, it's like the storylines become elongated, and I just think it should be shorter.
Yeah, I agree, totally. Yeah. I mean, I've been having a hard time. There's been too many filler episodes recently, so I've just been, I want some meaty storylines.
And it's like, even in the promos, I understand that Christina's leaving and it's
yeah.
a big thing, but when you have 4 promos,
yeah.
one after the other, underlining
yeah.
just that, it's like, come on, is there
It's kind of like, is there anything else happening in
yeah.
the show?
Mm-hmm. It's the biggest thing, don't get me wrong.
It's kind of like they're building up so much, build up for Christina's exit, but when she leaves, what are you going to leave the audience with?
Exactly.
So, like,
that's true.
Yeah, just kind of a little food for thought there. Anyways, yeah. what was your thought on the theme?
The theme, I think there's a very obvious theme where how far are you willing to go to keep the people or the things you love? Mm-hmm. You see it with Callie in Arizona very clearly. You see it with Alex, how far he's willing to go to keep his job. You see it with many, many storylines. I mean, you even have a girl who can't stop herself from farting, and she's pretty much, you know, willing to do anything to keep that in.
okay.
And also, there's a lot of calling out in this episode, people calling out each other on their behavior, mm-hmm. which is not something we always see on Grey's Anatomy.
No.
So, yeah, that's the theme I noticed.
Okay. Well, for me, expectation-wise, I'll be honest, my expectations for this episode weren't met. Mostly and purely only because it's the episode before the finale. I thought that there would be more setups for what the story arcs would be for the different plot lines. Mm-hmm. And right now, it's kind of all a big kabubble.
But weren't the storylines, that's the weird thing about this season. I feel like the storylines were pretty much all implanted in the first episode of the season, except maybe for Alex. Alex is really one of the only
characters. Wait, he had his dad.
Yeah, but, that's what I mean. It wasn't, his storyline has changed and evolved through the season.
Yeah,
other characters,
everyone else was consistent throughout the series.
Pretty much.
Season, yeah.
Pretty much. Which,
mm-hmm. Well, I think they're still connected in a way, his storylines, but I agree that it's changed, whereas the others has been pretty consistent. Theme, honestly, I think it was kind of what it should be for us going into the finale, expecting the best but preparing for the worst. Just because Alex was expecting things to go well, and now he's drowning over in his new practice. Callie, obviously, we know what she was expecting and what she was not prepared for. And Bailey was definitely not expecting that reaction from the parents, and Leah was not expecting to get axed. Or she probably was, but I still think it came off as a little bit of a shock, maybe.
Yeah, but, I think she was, yeah.
Also, yeah, Christina kind of shocked her, some of her interviewers or interviewees with her
revelations.
Yeah. So, yeah, that's pretty much what I got from that.
The episode starts with Meredith sitting in front of her computer. She's eating waffles, and Derek is obviously very surprised. He did not expect to see Meredith ever cook in their space or whatever.
Their space.
So,
their house.
Yeah, their kitchen.
Or ever at all.
Or ever at all, yeah. And she admits that it's Amelia who did the waffles, and they talk about...
That surprises me, honestly, but okay.
Yeah, that surprises me too, actually. But it's interesting. They think that maybe Amelia feels like she's being held hostage. How did you read this whole scene? Did you think that Amelia felt that way, or were you expecting the reveal that came later, where Amelia feels at home in Seattle?
I had really nothing to say about the scene other than Amelia was still there. And she was obviously having some, you know, conversations with her ex, which,
well,
even I kind of knew.
At the point. He's still her fiance.
Okay, fine. Whatever. I mean, know it's going to be her ex, so.
But she still loves them, Amanda.
Okay. Well, they're doing a pretty bad way of showing me that right now.
Well, I mean, this is harsh, and private practice people probably won't agree, but I'm kind of relieved that if Emilio's staying, we won't have to deal with James. Mm-hmm. So, that's just me.
That's true.
Yes, yeah.
Continue. Sorry, I forgot.
We move on. It's okay. We move on to the residence lounge, and we notice that Joe has hives all over her back. Leah is stress eating. Everybody's freaking out, wondering if they're going to be fired.
Okay. How would be your coping mechanism? Let's talk about that. Who are you out of all of the residents?
I'm no one. I have, when I'm stressed, I... Humor and being inappropriate is something I do when I'm, you know, I'm nervous or... So I would be the one saying inappropriate things and doing jokes and doing my very, very, very best to pretend like everything's okay. Mm-hmm. What would you do?
Probably something similar to that. I would try not to fuck up. But I wouldn't try to be a kiss-ass like Joe. I'd try to keep it on the down low, but also not slack, you know?
Yeah.
I'd be somewhere in the middle. And I don't think I would be eating, because I'd feel sick.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
I would suggest...
I'd be the opposite of Leah.
For sure. I would be the Joe in that sense, okay. You know, suggesting everybody, let's go drinking, let's go drink about it. That'd be me.
Yeah.
But, well, it depends. On a Friday night.
Might be one of the last scenes we get of all of the residents in the residence lounge.
Oh, good point.
Yeah.
Did you expect who was going to get fired?
No, I knew it was either Leah or Ross, so. Yeah, not really. I mean, I'm not that surprised.
Yeah. Bailey is talking to Edwards, and she says it might be time to tell the board about her criminal activities because it is a crime what she did.
Did she say criminal?
Legally. No. That,
okay, I was like, what?
But it is a crime.
How very big of her.
It's, no. It's big of me, not big of her. She tells Christina, and Christina is super laid back about it. They high five. She has a little pause, but still, in the end, it goes very smoothly. Were you surprised by that?
No, it's just so Christina Yang, and I'm glad. I like to see, you know, a couple more scenes like that before she goes. it kind of reminds me of when she was having that conversation with herself. She was her superior in season 9. She takes the whole thing with, not very seriously, which isn't always the greatest, but we saw in this episode that she does take what counts seriously.
But that counts. Okay. I feel like it should have been taken more seriously.
Yeah, I agree.
For me, it raises a few questions. I mean, you're on the board here. You're supposed to be in a position of authority, and you obviously, it's a lack in judgment in a few ways. And I mean, don't get me wrong. It was funny. It was a good scene, but you're going to run a hospital soon. And it makes me question what kind of leader you're going to be. And I love it. I love the fact that it raises that question because it kind of, destroys the myth that Christina Yang is perfect and that now that she's going to leave the show's universe, she's going to be extremely successful, meet no barrier. No, I think this shows us that Christina's going to struggle to finding her identity as a leader, and she's going to have to learn to deal with those legal issues. And so it's interesting to me that they show us that. And just before they're sending her to lead a hospital.
Yeah.
I think we can assume she's going to have a few struggles along the way, which is just normal. April and Jackson are going out of their appointment. They have a picture of their little baby and they're surprised and they're happy. No, not surprised. They're just happy and they meet, Callie, who's also going for an appointment. I don't have much to say except it's nice to see that J'April are happy about their baby.
She thought that Jackson, she was like, why did you have to go? Or whatever.
Yeah,
cause she didn't know they were pregnant.
Not too perceptive. I mean,
no.
Well, yes and no. You know, they're newly married. It would be plausible for April to go just check herself before trying to get pregnant. So I guess.
Yeah.
It's narrow-minded, mm-hmm. I suppose, to think that April is pregnant just because she's seeing the OBGYN. So I guess Callie's there. And I'm.
Yeah. For the next part with Christina interviewing candidates, is it a punishment? I'm going to say no, just because she's the only, really, probably the most, with the most experience, heart cardio that we know of at the hospital right now, because Dr. Whatever his name is gone, Russell. So I feel like since they're taking away two good doctors, at least they want to have her opinion of who they select.
Well, it seems like it's the only opinion that matters.
That's true.
Meredith seems to think that Owen has a big plan of keeping Christina or something, which it must have crossed Owen's mind. Well, Owen, if Christina's interviewing people and it's obvious that she's judging them very harshly, right?
Yes. Do you think a part of her doesn't want anyone to work there?
It's a good question.
Like, she's leaving, but at the same time, she doesn't want to see the department go to crap, you know?
And also, it must be hard to think about the fact that you're choosing your replacement.
Mm-hmm.
It's like,
well,
when you're a confident person, mm-hmm. choosing your replacement, you'll pick someone who's amazing, and it's hard to find someone who's as amazing as Christina Yang, and Christina knows that. So, but if you know, we've all done job interviews. It's terrifying.
Yeah, I'm
right?
Not really. Yeah. I've done so many now, I'm not even scared of them anymore.
So imagine being across Christina Yang. And
that's
being
true. She was like,
oh, God.
Yeah.
Must be terrifying. Owen eventually barges in because he found out about Bailey, and he asks her what she remembers about a conversation she had with Bailey, and Christina doesn't even really remember. Do you think she really doesn't remember?
I really think she doesn't remember.
Yeah. She's not trying to avoid it.
Yeah.
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 Worse
on her mind.
Yeah. Absolutely. Mind-numbing interviews. Ross is working with Arizona. She sees Karev walking in, and he's all dressed up, and she's proud of him. And as soon as Arizona walks out, what does Alex do, Amanda?
He's a jackass. That's what he is. As soon as she walks out.
How does he do that?
How does he do that?
Yeah.
By stealing a kiss.
I was not impressed.
I don't think a lot of people were, but I'm glad it was fixed by the end of the episode, because throughout this episode I was in a what the fuck mode. Like,
do you think at
that... I didn't recognize Alex or Joe in this episode, and that bothered me. I was like, what is going on with them? Like, I was just, yeah.
Well, it's interesting, right? Because last episode we kind of saw Joe really.
I'm surprised. I thought there would be an Alex and Joe scene in which she was a douche to her, and then that would have set us up for the finale of something going down, but there was nothing. So I no longer know where they're going with this storyline.
Do you think Alex is regressing?
I don't think he's regressing. I think he was in the first half of the episode, but I think as soon as we got the explanation, it wasn't regressing so much as learning something new about the type of business he put himself into. Had he not come to Arizona and told her and admitted that it was a low thing to do, then I would have been really worried about regression. I think it was just an impulse reaction. I want to call it a temporary regression that lasted for one episode. But he went back to the basics purely because he was thrown for a loop.
Yeah. I'm not sure. I mean,
I didn't like it.
It felt weird to me that Alex was so... The thing he repeated all through the episode was, what, are you going to tattletale? Are you going to tell on me? Are you going to... It's like the Alex...
I think the lowest... thing he did the whole episode was blackmail Ross.
Yes, absolutely.
That was bad.
But, you know, Alex, to me, Alex Karev is a guy who doesn't necessarily apologize for the way he is. He is that way, he's honest, and he will tell people, this is what I do, this is how I am. He does not care about being tattletale, told on. You know, he does not care he cares, but it's not something he struggles with. I feel like him saying that repeatedly through the episode kind of shows us how he's not comfortable at his job.
Yeah.
Right. It's like, and how do you feel about the fact that we were not shown that Alex is struggling?
I mean, it's kind of a bit of a ripoff, I'm not going to lie. It's really kind of frustrating how we've seen other characters and, you know, like Christina going off, and we got to see her experiences and how they affected her, but we're not getting to see that this happened to Alex. We're just seeing, you know, the ripple effects.
Mm-hmm. So he just tells us.
Yeah.
Which, you know, we've said this before. Yeah. In storytelling, telling us is not as good as showing us, usually.
So.
But I get it. I mean, I think we were meant to question his motives, and when he explained it, it made more sense, but still, I would have liked to see it.
Although I can't deny that he was adorable with that kid. And that kid was so adorable, too.
He was cute.
Yeah, the jellyfish kid.
Yeah, jellyfish joke. Mm-hmm. Knock, knock.
And seeing the parents, I think we should point out the fact that although he was barging in there and stealing a case, the parents... were not even, you know, a little bothered or alarmed because they trusted him. So, he didn't walk in there and say, "Hey, I'm Dr. Karev, I'll be your new doctor." He kind of won them over. Well, he knew them all already, but like, you know.
I mean, of course the show doesn't care, but there's a whole thing about insurance. I guess Alex knew that the insurance would cover the change in practice because that's something that could have screwed the parents, but whatever. I guess the show doesn't care.
No.
Joe is overdoing it. She is being a suck-up to Kepner, and Torres is being kind of a... I don't know what the word Kepner uses.
Grumpus.
Grumpus. Callie's a grumpus. Callie eventually calls Joe out on being a suck-up, and she says, "Check yourself before you wreck yourself."
You just did that awesomely.
Aww.
I find it, it's good continuity, but this episode reminded me a little bit of, like, why is it that every time Callie takes a trip to, or finds out, like, something about her uterus, she's a grumpus.
That's a good question. when her uterus doesn't let her have coffee, she's a grumpus.
No, that was when she found out she was pregnant, right? And she hadn't told anyone. And then she was a grumpus. And then she found out she couldn't have babies, and she didn't tell anyone. She was a grumpus. The writers used that two times.
No, three. When she was pregnant and couldn't have coffee, if she was a grumpus.
Oh, okay. So three times.
Yeah.
Yeah. I just thought it reminded me of the season 7 Callie.
Absolutely. Kepner eventually admits that she can't wear a jacket while they are doing the x-ray, and Callie figures out that Kepner is pregnant. Were you surprised to see Joe kind of snap at Kepner like that?
Can you refresh my memory?
They're, you know, working on the patient, and Callie needs to do an x-ray, so she's telling April, could you move on, put on a jacket so I can do my x-ray, put on a jacket, and Kepner's like, well, I need a few seconds, and Joe really snaps, Dr. Kepner, would you put on a jacket, and April is like, well, Dr. Torres, I can't be in the room while you do the x-ray.
Yeah.
So Joe really snaps at her.
Right.
Go on.
Once again, the writers are hinting to us that Joe has anger issues and they're not giving us anything.
That's your season finale story.
You think so?
I mean, if they've been mentioning it ever since the second half of the season, if they're not going to use it, what a waste of time.
I know. Like, it's been so many times now that they've thrown these little tidbits out, so it's like, I kind of want to know where this is going. But yeah, no, I don't think that was thrown in there for nothing, so I kind of want to know.
Also, it kind of shows us...
She has an aggressive... She's aggressively competitive.
Yeah, and it's not in her nature to be a suck-up.
No.
So, she reacts...
I find it funny how both Alex and Joe have tendencies to be suck-ups. Like, Alex, when he was an intern, he was a bit of a suck-up sometimes.
That's true.
It's funny.
Well, you know, they're all desperate.
Yeah.
Amelia and Meredith are talking about their surgery. Amelia isn't too keen on Meredith being someone who cares and who asks about her relationship. And so she snaps at Meredith and says, I preferred you when you were the sister-in-law who didn't care, which... It made me wonder if Amelia would kind of become the new Yang. Now, she's not like Christina, but she has resemblance in her sense of humor, in her sarcasm, in her strong personality, and the way in that scene she calls, you know, she talks to Meredith, you know, in that way. It felt very Yang and Gray to me.
I'm just having, like, for the people who haven't watched Private Practice and didn't develop a huge love for Amelia, I want to know if they're actually enjoying these scenes or if they're just kind of like, why are you here?
I love her. I haven't watched Private Practice. I personally like her, and it's something I've been thinking about a lot with Christina. I mean, Christina is potentially my favorite. Her sarcasm, the sense of humor she brings to the show is something I will miss immensely next season. And I think Amelia, while she's not the same, I'm not saying she's a replacement for Christina, there's that potential for that type of humor with Amelia, where she's, you know, she has tendency to do
dark humor
and sarcasm and, so, I mean, I'm open to the idea. I don't want her to become a Yang cutout, but I'm open to the idea. Mm-hmm. And that scene made me realize that. Except she's not like Christina, obviously, because she can cook.
Honestly, the way she talked, though, about her fellow Seaside Wellness staff.
Yes, let's jump in.
It felt like a giant betrayal.
You think?
Yeah.
Are they like that?
They were family. They were, you know, stuck by each other, and they went to AA meetings together, her and Charlotte, and they were close, and to hear her say that about them kind of pissed me off.
I agree.
I was kind of like, where's your loyalty? Now you're ditching them and just gonna come here?
It does kind of belittle the importance, their importance, I think.
Yeah. I mean, also, if you don't know, there was a big Amelia episode in Private Practice where they held an intervention for her.
Yeah.
So these people love her, and just to hear her talk about that way, about her friends and colleagues, rubbed me the wrong way.
But, I totally get that, and when she said it, I was also, whoa, like, really? And, is she really saying that?
Yeah.
But I can understand how you love people, but...
Yeah, but the people at Seattle are no better.
No, but I understand the whole, you know, I'm not a private practice watcher, so this is me giving my outsider impression. But when I look at the private practice characters, what I know about them and the type of practice they ran, you know, there's two psychiatrists there. There's Sheldon, there's Violet. I mean, it seems plausible to me that when a conflict arises...
Well, yeah, the psychiatrists were a little, yeah.
Yeah, so, I mean, for Amelia, who's probably someone who's very impatient, who wants to move on quickly, I can see how the Grace Lowe Memorial vibe fits her more. And maybe it's something she hadn't even realized until she was there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but I totally get how it feels like a betrayal.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I get that. But she would fit well. If there's a private practice character that would fit well at Gristle Memorial, in my opinion, it would be.
If you ignore the fact that they're completely destroying something that they did for her just so that she can fit into the show, yeah.
I mean, yeah. I'm not sure if they're completely destroying it. I haven't seen it, but yeah. But, you know, if I'm not going to get Addison, Amelia's best.
Yeah.
Avery is talking to Brayden's parents. They explain their point of view about their betrayal, you know, how they feel about Bailey's betrayal, because they're saying, you know.
Now I'm beginning to think the theme is betrayal.
That's plausible.
Yeah.
That's very plausible.
Okay.
They have a good explanation, you know, they say, we told her we did not want this, and she lied, so why should we believe her now? So Avery trying to, you know, calm the parents down, lets it slip that his wife is expecting.
Right in front of Stephanie.
Right in front of Stephanie.
Oh my god, that poor girl.
That poor girl, I agree. Is there ever something good that's going to happen to this girl?
I have to say, after the year Stephanie has had, and, you know, with being left at the altar, hearing right in front of your ex that he's having another baby and saying that proudly to a patient, I am proud that she was willing to get herself fired for, you know, just to keep Bailey.
Just to keep Bailey.
Yeah. I mean, not that I, you know, condone what Bailey did, but just the fact that she was ready to put her, you know, self on the line, even after what a shitty day she was having, the fact that she was looking at the bigger picture just makes me respect her so much more.
And her explanation felt valid.
Oh,
you know,
it
was not
the whole bigger picture thing. Does that bring you back to season 4, Bailey? When she was like, I'm looking for the bigger picture.
Yes.
Yeah.
And she hugs her. You're not there.
I mean, even though I really hated what Bailey did, I really liked that whole conclusion to that storyline with Stephanie.
Me too. Leah is talking to the girl who has, you know, difficulty holding gas.
This is so overdone.
I mean, this is. Well, I have the same problem.
I felt secondhand embarrassment watching my favorite show.
You know, it's like the when the guy had his wee-wee in the hornet's nest. It's the same kind of cases where they go for the easy humor, and I'm not a fan of that.
Mm-hmm.
It's like I laugh at fart jokes in real life. Someone farts, I laugh. I don't want to look at TV or videos or movies where the jokes are about farts. I get that in my real life every frickin' day. Give me something
you,
more rich.
Of course you do. You teach kids.
Exactly. So, but, I mean, yes,
get
it was.
Spitballs?
Name it, I've seen it.
Okay.
Then again, you think they won't surprise you and they find a way to.
Mm-hmm.
Anyways. And, they talk about how Fart Girl was fired from her job because of her condition, which could you tell us
a little too much detail?
Could you tell us more, you know, could you reveal more clearly what's going to happen to Leah?
What?
Talking about being fired with the patient, it's pretty much a big arrow pointing towards Leah's gonna get fired, Leah's gonna get fired, Leah's gonna get fired.
No? I didn't even notice.
Even, it's like Leah is even taking it personally as if she knows she's going to get fired. Arizona finds out that Alex stole her patient. She tells him it's a jerk-ass move, that he knows it.
She's called him a jerk-ass, she's called him a, what's
it? Oh, no, she did not. Whoa. That's something I noticed. She does not call him a jerk-ass. She says it's a jerk-ass movie.
Okay. No, I was just commenting on Arizona's creative, insults.
Oh, yeah. Which I was surprised other people you could jerk-ass.
Crap dog, jerk-face.
Grateful.
Jerk,
yeah. I mean, and, you know, it's something I wanted to address because telling someone what you did was stupid is... For me, it feels different than telling someone
okay.
you're stupid.
You don't need to
and
try to
also,
defend Arizona.
No, I'm not. But also, it's how, what I appreciate is how she tells him, and you know it. It's like she knows Alex, she knows the growth he's been through, and she knows that Alex is not hypocritical to the point where he can justify this jerk-ass move to himself. He knows he's in the wrong, and
yeah.
she knows that.
And if the positions were like, if it was Arizona and it was him, he'd be pissed too.
Absolutely.
So.
So Arizona decides to scrub in on the surgery. Also, she wasn't impressed with, I feel like we should mention that she was not impressed with the fact that Ross had scrubbed in.
Yeah, but
so she scrubs.
I wish she could have been informed that Ross didn't have a choice. He was basically blackmailed by his superior. And coming from a guy, who you accidentally killed his father, I don't think he could say no to him.
Mm-hmm.
So.
That's true. It would have been interesting to see.
Anyways, not that I cared that much about Ross.
Well, no, but you're right. You're right. He was in a position where he was treated unfairly.
Mm-hmm.
But still, you know, yes, it was blackmail, but still, he could have walked away,
mm-hmm.
you know, and called out Alex, but he chose not to, which, I mean,
yeah.
is understandable since he killed Alex's father, but still.
Mm-hmm.
Ben rushes to Bailey when he finds out that Bailey is in trouble. Owen admits that they're not facing the possibility of a malpractice suit, but Braden's parents are considering assault and battery charges, which is a total different ballgame.
Mm-hmm.
It's criminal charges, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean... I'm not interested in another malpractice suit.
We're not going to get one.
No, we're not. But still, I can appreciate the fact that it did not, you know, it was a different, it wasn't malpractice, it was something that feels more serious to me, battery, you know, assault charges.
Mm-hmm.
So I like that we had that little surprise in the episode. Christina is still in the interview room. A candidate Rise asks the question, you know, there's this rumor that if you work at Lake Grace Sloan Memorial, you will not win a Harper Avery. Is that why you are leaving? Christina answers the question and pretty much tells the candidate that he will never win a Harper Avery because people who win Harper Averys are not people who just work towards one. They're the people who care about the heart and care about the, not the heart.
But yeah.
The, mm-hmm. ART mm-hmm. and the medicine and.
Which I agree with.
I absolutely
agree. I think that was a really inappropriate question. No, for a first interview.
I disagree. Yeah. I disagree. I think you should know what you're getting into. True. I mean, asking Christina if she's leaving because of that, inappropriate.
Yeah.
Asking if it's true that you can't win a Harper Avery, appropriate.
Mm. I guess so.
But you're right. It's inappropriate to ask Christina, you know, is that why you're leaving? No, that's inappropriate.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Were you surprised by Christina's answer that she's not leaving because of the Harper Avery?
I was not surprised by that. I mean, it's not really the reason. I mean, for a while she's, I think, wanted to do something different, and she has dreams, and, you know, now she's going to go do them. I think if she was offered,
she has a great opportunity.
I think she was offered that opportunity and not given, you know, the chance to have Harper Avery for it, she would have still taken the job if she could try to do those, you know, her research.
That's a good nuance.
Mm-hmm.
Stephanie talks to Braden's parents, and she says that it was her fault that she forgot to tell Dr. Bailey about their change of heart. Mm-hmm. And the Braden's father is so enraged that he doesn't even enjoy the moment with his son.
I know. That's just so sad.
It absolutely is.
Yeah.
The mom eventually calls him by their side, and it seems to calm the father. You know, when he realizes that his son is okay, it seems to.
Yeah. Calm but that was, I really down. Liked how they did that scene with the sound effects and everything.
The song was interesting. I was afraid that something dramatic was going to happen.
Yeah.
You know, they did, I feel
well,
like
it was
the music
dramatic,
could have been super sappy and, but no.
Yeah,
absolutely, but it still left me on edge.
Yeah.
It's like I wasn't sure if this was going to end well or whatever, so I like that.
Mm-hmm. He was cute.
Bailey is in... He totally was. Absolutely adorable. They're
Bailey
in the
watches.
Conference room, and Owen... What?
Bailey was watching.
She
was being a... peeker around the corner.
She was. And she got teary-eyed when Braden walked out.
Mm-hmm.
And Stephanie sees Bailey's reaction also, and she seems to be... It seems to be the thing that, you know, makes her decide to take the fall. They're in the conference room, and Bailey is trying to tell Owen, she's lying! I was not trying to cover for her. This is entirely my fault. And Owen won't listen to it. You know, he says whatever, they're dropping the charge. And Stephanie and Bailey have this conversation where Stephanie explains why she chose to do it. And Bailey hugs her. Bailey hugs her and says, you're not leaving, not without a fight from me.
Loved it.
Yeah?
I did love it. Even though I hated how they got to that moment, I loved it.
Tell me more.
Well, I don't know what else to say. Just I feel like Bailey doesn't really have anyone at the hospital anymore. And, you know, even though... I think she's felt that for a while ever since what happened in season 9. She felt like nobody had her back, right? So I think that Stephanie doing that for her, even though it was at great risk to her career and her job, I think it really showed her true colors and basically guarantees that Stephanie will be staying. Because she was, you know what, actually? This whole thing reminds me of Christina's speech to the guy. If you're not, you know, if you're doing it for the patients, for the bigger picture, and not just for the awards, you know, the rewards, then you'll be a greater doctor. So yeah.
Absolutely.
I can draw comparisons to that.
Also, can you?
Yeah.
We've compared Stephanie to Christina a few times, mm-hmm. especially in the when we were first introduced.
So maybe
to her. Now it changed, but I feel like Bailey. Bailey could be a good mentor for Stephanie. Maybe she's not the next Christina. Maybe she's more of a Bailey.
Maybe.
You know, someone who's warmer,
I felt a very affectionate motherly daughter, you know, feeling. I wonder if Stephanie has a mom.
That's a good question.
Anyways.
Yes! Doesn't she mention it?
Does she?
I feel like we've heard, I'm not sure. If you know if Stephanie has a mom, tweet us at TSG Podcast.
Yeah.
Callie walks up to April, who is standing at the nurse's station. Callie asks how long it's been since April got pregnant. April shows the picture of the baby. Callie starts crying.
I hate when she does that huge sobbing human cry. Sorry. I feel bad for Callie. I just find that so distracting.
Yeah, I agree. I also feel bad for Callie.
Mm-hmm.
I also feel very, very bad for April because I feel like a lot of April's big moments have stolen, especially from Callie in Arizona,
before
April's wedding.
The fandom is kind of more upset about Callie than they are happy for April. You know? It's like...
Yeah, which...
It sucks for her. Like, you want to be happy about something? Yeah. I don't think Callie should have asked.
I mean,
because I get the feeling that Callie wanted to talk about.
Callie knew it was a.
You know, I don't know. Do you think that Callie knew she'd react that way? Because Callie's.
It's a sensible topic.
Yeah.
Callie should have known she was going to cry, right? So Callie should have been maybe, but that's not a Callie thing to do.
No.
Callie does not take steps. Step back, she's emotional, that's how she is. I have two things. First of all, last episode I was kind of mad at Callie because she lacked empathy towards April, in my opinion. And in this scene, it proves to me how amazing of a friend April is and how she deserves empathy from people. And she is an amazing friend. I mean, yeah, she's amazing with Callie. She's super nice. When you look at her with Arizona before her wedding, when Arizona's a mess, yes, there's this eye roll, but she still hugs Arizona and she's genuine. April is an amazing friend and people need to stop being mean to her and they need to start being empathetic towards her and, you know, come on. April is an amazing friend, truly. One of the best, you know, example of a friend we have on this show, I feel.
Yeah.
So this is what I really wanted to underline in this scene, how great of a friend April is.
Yeah.
So, rant done.
Woot, April.
Amelia, yes. Amelia and Meredith are scrubbing out. Amelia pretty much says that she's a terrible person because she doesn't need a man in her life, and she says that she's going to cook supper and read a long, long story to Meredith and Derek's kids, and then when she doesn't have any excuse to avoid it, she's going to call James, tell him she loves him, break up with him, and that's that.
Well then.
So, I guess, Amelia's there to stay, Amanda.
Fuck my life.
It seems like there's no avoiding it.
I don't know how I feel about
that. There's no avoiding
it. Don't make me comment on this yet. I don't know how I feel about it. I'm in.
Okay, I have something that might make you feel better.
Okay.
I mean, later in the episode, when Derek finally comes home, he has champagne and, Meredith tells him that Amelia wants to stay in Seattle, and Derek surprises us all, I think, and says that, well, that's good. Amelia can stay in Seattle, and we'll move to Washington. So maybe we're losing a shepherd and winning a shepherd?
They've said they're going to move to D.C. or to the East Coast so many times, and they never did, so I don't know if I'd believe that.
I'm gonna, I've said this with Alex's storyline. I don't like when they have to develop universes, different universes for characters. I mean, sometimes it's successful, like Christina and Mayo, but it can be a trap and it can feel like they're taking too much screen time to set up too many things for too little story or for a story that's not necessarily worth it. So I'm wondering if, you know, my theory is that Derek will move, Meredith will stay. Yeah. I don't know why she would make that decision.
I know.
That's my theory.
I think that
and
you're right.
My hope that we don't need.
I think they're gonna.
I hope that we don't need to develop an entire.
I think Patrick's gonna take a step back next season. He'll still be in the episodes, but I think they're gonna maybe have a few where he might be written lightly. And I think that's why they wanted to bring Amelia in. Mm-hmm. And if that's the case, I might be okay with it.
I agree.
So yeah. Anyways.
But I mean, it's dangerous because, well, I mean, not, it is and it isn't. I mean, obviously they won't make every episode a Skype conversation with Derek. There will be episode where we will explore line of work and that'll be okay. Mm-hmm. There will be episode where he will be in Seattle to see his family. I mean, of course those are all theories, but you know, I think it works for me.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want them both to move to Washington.
I don't either. I don't want them to make a whole
really
universe.
Not.
No. Not me neither.
It can't last for two seasons.
No.
So, no. No.
Mm-hmm. No.
yeah, I agree.
Leah.
Even though Leah found out a way. Leah. Find out a way to, she found a way to fix Fart Girl. She scrubs in surgery with Richard. She seems to be doing fairly well, but when they are done with the patient, she tells Richard, I want to stay on this case. I want to see this patient through whatever. And Richard tells her, let's go sit for a second. And he says that Leah is fired, they're letting her go, and that it's not a punishment,
it's really a
kindness they are doing.
At least they gave her a reason. Although I honestly never,
I think
ever, I'm gonna vouch for Leah here. I never saw a hint that she was slower than the others. She was badass. She was in a surgery even though she felt like she was gonna throw up.
Yeah, that's true. Good point.
I mean, I don't know. It just felt like I didn't see that.
That's a good point. They could have done a better job of showing us the reason, you know, showing us hints.
Mm-hmm. Although I don't think she was fired from the events.
Very good point.
I don't think she was fired because of the events of that day, because the previous episode we saw Owen and Richard agreeing that they had to fire someone. So.
Mm-hmm. I like that she asked about the HR story about the sexual assault thing. Or what was it? Not sexual assault. That's too dramatic. What was it? Inappropriate conduct in the workplace, whatever.
Yeah.
I like that she brought that up because it's something I had been wondering. If Leah was going to get fired, would there be a storyline where Leah would take action against the hospital because, you know, she would blame that as the reason, which, anyways, it doesn't seem like they're going for that, which I'm thankful for.
Well, yeah.
Did you feel like Leah seemed relieved?
No, I think she just accepted it, you know, with dignity and tried to keep her image intact. You know, she didn't.
Do you think we'll see her next episode?
I think so, because at the end of this episode, they kind of left it open. Like, she didn't say goodbye or anything. And she, you know, I think she just kind of said, yeah, I'll see you at Joe's, right? She just wanted to take a while to clean up. So I think she'll still be there. And Tessa was at the table read.
It's a storyline night.
Tessa was at the table read for the finale.
Oh, right.
So.
I did not know that, but
she was.
Okay. It's an interesting story to me, you know, someone, because we've been told this many times
it felt like
some
he was
surgeons,
just kindly
you know, will
putting her out of her misery.
out of her misery.
Yeah. Like, he was just very gentle about it.
Yeah.
We so have a lot.
As unpopular of an opinion as it can be, I kind of wish we would see someone transitioning from being a surgeon to being told, you know, this is not for you, and finding their way towards the type of medicine that suits them, which I understand this is not something we have time for, but I would have been interested in that storyline. Just like I would have been interested to seeing Ross getting fired for what he did to Alex's father and, you know, figuring out
the type. Can we discuss how totally friggin' messed up it is that Leah can get fired before Ross?
It's fucked up, I agree. Ross should have been fired.
Are you kidding me?
And also, everybody who's done horrible stuff and been rehired.
For this. That's funny.
Exactly. Which I kind of understand, because, you know, you don't, Meredith Grey, amazing surgeon, she did something wrong, she was fired, but of course, you know, she's gonna be, you're kind of, you know, the world will have one less amazing surgeon because you fired, you know, Meredith Grey, so you want to rehire her, you know, which is not the case for Leah, but still, it's weird.
It's weird.
I think this is the first permanent fire we've seen.
Yeah, I know. Wow. So where were we?
Way to go. Yeah. Arizona, is, you know, she's done working with the baby that Ross messed up. And, Alex is standing at the door, and, Arizona, you know, asks him, are you here to steal any other cases, any other babies? And Alex tells her, what, you're gonna tattletale on me again? Which Arizona is not, it's not something that impresses her, and Alex explains that he's drowning at the practice, that if you're not bringing in the money, you're just a nobody, and that he needed that patient. He kind of freaked out, and so he stole the case. To which Arizona tells him, you know, what you should have done is basically just put your big boy's pants on and ask for help.
Was he too proud to ask her for help? Like, do you think he just wanted to prove to her that he could do it?
I don't think so, because she tells him, when she tells him it's a jerk-ass move and you know it, I do think Alex knows it. Mm-hmm. He won't impress anyone with that type of behavior.
Do you think he wanted to impress her in the fact that he didn't need her help? Like, I'm sure he realized eventually that wasn't impressing her.
My answer is the same.
Okay.
My answer is the same. I mean, if you want to impress her and do something that's totally, absolutely, 100% won't impress her, it's so counterproductive that I don't think that's the reason why he didn't go. I think it's not in Alex's nature to ask for help, first of all. Second of all, I think he's really drowning.
Uh-huh.
Third of all, I don't think he feels that he is being valued, really, when the only reason or the only way he can get recognition where he works is by bringing in the cash.
Yeah.
I don't think that's something that makes Alex feel...
No.
Like, he's proving himself.
No.
I really think this is the beginning of the end.
Yeah. But, like,
of his
I just don't understand. Yeah. Okay. I don't understand why this storyline, or why
it's
what's happening with it.
I think they just needed him to try it and realize...
But why?
...that it's not for him. And I think we'll...
Why? I didn't think Alex was in the medicine for the money. So, like, why did we need that?
Yeah, I'm not sure if they're going to explain it. I mean, I can come up with explanations, but it's really me coming up with explanations. I don't know if it's canon, but I can see how someone who's been raised in the dumpster would be tempted to a different life at some point in their life, especially when they've just been faced with their dying father who pretty much, you know, had a low life. And Alex, I could see kind of unconscious decision of, you know, I won't be like my father. I will be the total opposite of my father and making the weird connection that being the opposite of his father is having a lot of money. Mm-hmm. But if that's what you're trying to do, you need to explain it eventually, or because people are, I think we are obviously struggling with why this is happening.
Yeah.
So they need to explain it at some point.
Mm-hmm.
It's also another point. I think Arizona is a lot like Alex in that way, where I think she has a hard time asking for help.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it's a lesson she has learned a little. But, you know, it's interesting that she's the one teaching that lesson when I'm pretty sure she's the one who learned it a little but still needs to learn it a lot. So, yeah. Bailey and Ben are sitting on the bench outside the hospital and they have a conversation where it's made pretty much obvious that Bailey doesn't necessarily have regrets about what she did. Which I would have hoped that by that point Bailey would have a more nuanced.
Bailey needs to take herself down a notch.
React.
She's way too.
Yeah.
Her head's a little too big.
She's having a. Is she building a god complex?
She is. I'm a little worried that she's going to take over from Derek Shepherd here.
Yeah.
I think it's.
Is that where they're going? So.
I don't think so.
And
I think the writers are a little oblivious to it, but just, like, she obviously doesn't consider it a failure because it didn't fail, but at the same time, she failed to acknowledge and obey the parents' wishes, which is big.
So, it's like the end justifies the means.
Yeah.
Which is true in some cases, but not absolutely true. And I don't like when a narrative, I actually hate when a character does something wrong and the narrative does not punish them in any way.
Mm-hmm.
It's like there's no consequences for Bailey at all. Mm-hmm. The only person that comes close to giving her any consequences is Ben.
Yeah.
And then it doesn't seem like he'll do anything.
I kind of would like for Brayden to come back years down the line when he's older, just to come find Bailey and thank her. You know, maybe he could find out what happened from his parents when he's older, you know, and maybe he kind of wants to thank her to be like, I know this is probably really bad, but thank you for not listening to my mom and dad. I don't do it all the time anymore because you let me live, you know. I don't know, that's just my little fantasy.
That's something, yeah. It's interesting, it's something I've been thinking about recently where if you watch ER, there's a lot of patients who come back through the seasons. And it's something Grey's Anatomy has not done at all.
I'm not sure if
it's something
they've never done it.
But it would be interesting, like Supergirl. I would be interested in seeing Supergirl
again. Oh my god, that would be so awesome.
Any of those.
Yeah, that'd be so cool.
Yeah, bring back. They kind of did it. Well, no, they never did it.
No,
when they did it, an arc.
The only one that came was Mary from the season 6 finale, but that wasn't too far away, so.
Exactly, that's the one I wanted to bring up, but it doesn't necessarily count because I think that story was planted fairly early. I would not be surprised if even as they were preparing for the season 6 finale, they were talking about bringing back Mary. Mm-hmm. So.
No, I know.
Yeah. I'd love to see. It's something I would like to see from Grey's Anatomy writers.
See Alex's reaction and not recognize her at first and then her be like, remember when you told me that I was a superhero? You know? That'd be cool.
Yeah. Jackson and April are walking together, and Jackson confesses that he told someone about the pregnancy, and April also confesses that she told someone. And it's just a cute moment between Jackson and April where they agree that April can show the picture to her mom, and April tells Jackson that telling his mom is on him. Which I think we'll see next episode, is my guess. I think Catherine's back.
Catherine's back.
The residents are still freaking out. I think so. And I kind of want to see a reaction, honestly. Anyways, the residents are still freaking out about being fired because April and Callie seemingly had pleasure into making the rumor, you know, continue. So Leah is beside them. We can see that she is packing her stuff very slowly. She doesn't say anything to them about being fired. Do you think in that moment Leah is being selfish, or is it that she is being selfless, or none of the above?
None of the above. I think she just needed time to process what had just happened, and she didn't feel like sharing it with anyone. I mean, I don't think I would have said I was just fired.
It's weird how they seem reassured by what she's saying, though.
Yeah. I mean, I would have picked up on
it. It's like, you know,
she
tells them. Yeah. It's like, she tells them, you're all going to be okay. You're going to be okay. It's going to be fine. And it struck me how, especially Ross, you know, was the one who really held on to those words from Leah. So it makes me wonder, you know, we know Ross is leaving.
I still think he's going with Christina.
Yeah? Mm-hmm. You don't think he's going to get fired?
No.
No. I think, yeah. Very plausible that he's leaving with Christina. Callie and Arizona are in bed. It's obvious that Callie told Arizona that she can't carry the baby. Arizona offers to be the one who carries. Callie tells her, we're just starting to be ourselves again, and I'm not going to put us in a position where you have to do that, because if something goes wrong, we won't survive.
Why couldn't we see her tell her?
Ishara, I love you.
Why couldn't we see her tell her?
That's same problem as Alex. Yeah, same problem as Alex.
It's like they just want, they don't want to get into the, you know, real stuff. They just want to tell the story, but they don't want to show the story. You know? That's what it feels like.
It's a season 10 problem.
It's telling the story. They're telling the story, but they're not showing the story. That's a problem.
And I want to see the story.
Yeah, exactly.
I think this is a victory for Team Let's Talk, I have to say. It's been a season since we've
That's
seen
really
Callie
funny,
and
considering,
Arizona boat.
Considering the observation I just made, that they're just telling us a story, and you said Team Talk. Or, what would you
Team Let's Talk,
Team Let's
yes.
Talk, yeah. It's like,
Team Let's Talk. The sequel.
Yeah.
It's been a while since we've seen Callie and Arizona both at the same time.
Arizona's
very aware
is
and
not
conscious
it for me.
Of their. No? How do you think she's feeling?
I don't know. I can't tell. And I don't know if that's, like, deliberate on J-Cap's part, or if, I don't know, she's just not selling it for me, but I just, there's something about her expression in the scene, and it doesn't feel like she's okay with what Callie's saying, and I don't know what to make of that, because I really, other than that look, I really enjoyed this scene, because, you know, it's just,
they were finally
slowing down and just realizing what they've been through and where they've come since the beginning of last year, And yeah. They were finally not looking ahead, but looking beside each other. So I didn't really like, I'm not sure how I felt.
I think it's the first time. I think I have an explanation. I'm not sure, but I think it's the first time that both Callie and Arizona are looking at their relationship without the pink bubble. It's been so freaking long since we've been in a place where Callie and Arizona were both very aware of the state of their relationship. And I think this is very uncomfortable for Arizona. And also I think it's very scary for Arizona, because what they're basically saying is that they will have to be enough for each other before anything else happened.
Is she worried that Callie isn't enough?
Another possibility.
Is she worried that Callie isn't
enough? No, I think she's worried that, I think it's been her worry all through the season and last season that she's the one who wasn't enough.
Right.
And I mean, for both of them, I think it is scary when you find yourself in a place where you're basically telling each other we have to be enough for one another. It raises a lot of insecurity. I think Arizona in that scene is the one who we see that she is unsure. You know, she tries to be as reassuring as she can. I do think she loves Callie. I just think there are some questions and there are some fears towards the whole concept of we need to be enough for one another, because they're the type of relationship who, you know, jumped into a wedding. They've jumped into the first baby. They've jumped into the second baby. And
just
now
salt,
they
yeah.
can't avoid anymore. It's like you
there's really no
find
other
each
step.
Other again.
Yeah.
And exactly. And I think that's the face. That's what, and I'm happy that they're in that place. And I'm, it's a make
it's
or
what
break
you,
it
it's what you kind of
thing.
Remember that, when we were discussing this and you were like, this is what it could, this is, you thought it was the only way that the storyline could go that would make it okay. The baby storyline.
Yeah, that would make it interesting.
Was if they, at the, in the end,
yeah,
they realized
that
they didn't
and,
need
and
care.
I'm hopeful, and I mean, either way, if it goes wrong, if it goes good, if they do realize that they are enough for each other, I'm just happy that we get to finally address their relationship and nothing else.
Mm-hmm.
It's interesting, just, you know, scene comparison I have to do. In the end of season 8, when just before Arizona is going to board the plane, she has this moment where she's crying because Nick is dying, and she tells Callie, don't go anywhere, I can't do this, I can't lose anyone anymore, blah, blah, blah. And Callie tells her, what you can't do, I will. And jump to the season after that, Arizona lost a leg. Callie is pretty much doing everything Arizona can't do. It's very hard for her.
Mm-hmm.
And now she's in a position where she could ask of Arizona to do that. Do what she can't do. And she doesn't. Because, not because, you know, Arizona's selfish and doesn't want to do it, but because they realize that they're not in a state in their relationship where they're strong enough for Arizona to do what Callie can't do.
Mm-hmm.
So it's interesting. So we'll see what's going to happen, but I'm definitely more interested in that story than Callie carrying a baby. Do you have anything about that
nope.
scene?
I've or said all I have to say.
All right. Owen walks into the interview room and he asks Christina about the candidates. He tells her that he had looked at their curriculums before giving them to her. They can't be all that bad. Christina admits that they're not all that bad except Humble Bragger. We see a moment where it seems like Owen is going to offer Christina the job, and she tells him, don't offer me the job.
God, is he that
desperate? Don't offer me the job. Don't do this. Do you think she would not have been able to refuse?
I have no idea.
Is she afraid?
But I think
that
she was afraid of that. Yeah. I don't think she wanted to have to choose. You know, it would make it too hard. Because she'd have to say no. And I don't think she wanted to say no to him
yeah.
for anything, you know?
it's like he has a hard time. It's interesting because he's been wanting, you know, he tells her, I've been wanting to ask you for a week, and I know that no good will come out of that. And it's like he's struggling with not asking her, and she knows that if he asks, she'll struggle with not, you know, accepting,
mm-hmm.
which is a total Crowan dynamic. Fits yeah, their characters.
Yeah. And so
Can you explain what happens? All right. So that's what he asks of her, right? Something like, you can't leave me before you really leave me or something yeah. like that. And they kiss. Total Crowan thing to do, I think. Mm-hmm. We should not be surprised. I mean, the writers, the shippers, it's like the writers were going, you know, they're giving the shippers everything they could until the end. But I feel like for the writers, they're not making it easier on themselves. Because next season, Christina won't be there.
No.
You had the time this season to kind of prepare Owen for that, kind of detach him from Christina. But now you're really pushing him in the deep end for next season.
Yeah.
What's going to happen to Owen next season? There's nothing set up for him as of now.
I know. He's basically going to be pining for her.
It seems like that's where they're going, which do we want an entire season of Owen pining for Christina?
I don't know. They haven't convinced me of anything for, they should have been setting something up for him, but I don't see anything.
Yeah. Which is, they tried with Emma. I don't think it's, you know, it's like they abandoned that plan. Anyways, that's pretty much it for this episode. How did you feel about it? I did not feel like it was the last episode before.
No, I didn't
last.
Either.
Did you?
No. No.
All right. Anyways. Not a bad episode, just doesn't feel like the one setting up the finale. Mm-hmm. Anyways, Twitter question of the week. Anyways. If you had to write a spin-off for one of the Grey's Anatomy characters, which one would you pick?
No.
Mummy Mermaid said Christina. Missy Metz says Richard Weber. Sarah Ramirez 1999 says Kelly. Joe Wilson's Karev 1 says Christina.
What?
Safod DME, our friend Sam, says... Says paramedic Nicole.
Oh, yeah.
Mickey123 says Alex.
Are you waiting for a reaction from
me? I mean, I agree. Paramedic Nicole would be good.
Yeah, that could be interesting.
What?
That could be interesting, paramedic Nicole.
Yeah. Who would you pick?
Oh, obviously Alex, but I really don't think any of the characters. I don't know. I think that after 10 seasons, there's not a lot you can do to start an own show. You know?
I love the characters. You know, I love them as an ensemble. If I was forced at gunpoint to pick one, I think the only character who could really hold a pilot on their shoulder would be Christina. Mm. You know, it takes a strong actor to do it.
Yeah.
Obviously, we can't do a spin-off with Meredith. She was the one who holds Grey's Anatomy. It would be... So, I think Christina would be our only option. I think it's the most popular option we have, and I guess most people pick her because they just can't say goodbye to Christina, which is a fair reason, but yeah.
Zurich.
In Zurich, absolutely, with chocolate and everything.
Mm-hmm.
If you want to answer the Twitter question of the week, you can do so on @TSGpodcast, at on Twitter. You can send us an email at seriouslygracepodcast@gmail.com. You can follow us on Tumblr at theseriouslygracepodcast.tumblr.com. And you can subscribe to us on iTunes. We always like to hear from you guys, so don't be shy. And,
yay.
My seriously.
I'm Amanda, and I seriously don't know what's going on in the show anymore. I don't!
I'm Kay, and you should seriously check yourself before you wreck yourself. My heart's on-